Father, just thank you for this time that we've come together, this time of your Shabbat, time of your rest, the time of coming together and worshiping with you, of worshiping you. Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, please come and lead us, guide us, teach us, open your words, that we may learn, that we may hear. Truly, may we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. May we have wisdom for the days ahead. We thank you that you have promised to do nothing, but that you would show it to your servants. May we be wise, may we be prepared. Mostly, may we be obedient, that we could be that light set on the hill. Messiah, that you would be lifted up, that you would draw men unto yourself. Amen. Well, this last week has been an explosive week, say the least, with the events in Beirut, things going on, the riots continuing. Again, I think Father is trying to get people's attention. Schools trying to decide, are they starting back? Are they not starting back? Sports starting back. Yeehaw. And the continued disconnect, in my opinion, as the stands are empty. So now the cameras are forced to look at the players because that's all that's there. And as the players and the coaches and all that are there are kneeling instead of standing for our national anthem, the thing that's supposed to unite us, and yet we're not united. America is supposed to stand for liberty, for justice, for all. And yet, instead of trying to strive and fight for that ideal, we seem to be protesting, which is good. I think we should protest if injustices are done, if we're not living up to our best self. But how you protest injustice by doing injustices, I'm not yet figured out. How you protest violence by engaging in violence, makes me wonder. When the scripture says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, I would assume scripture knows best. When scripture says you reap what you sow, then the seeds that we decide to sow are what we're going to end up reaping. Now, if we don't like the seeds we sow, yes, we should repent. We could ask that the harvest would fail, that we would not get what we deserve because of what we planted. We can beg for his mercy. But if I don't like what you planted, so I go and plant the same, how is that going to change what you planted? How is that going to do anything except for reap more of what I claim to be against? What I claim not to want? What I claim not to like? It makes me pause to see what this fall is going to be like, because we are continuing to plant. And seemingly to accept as a society. We hear small pockets of outcry, but if you listen to the media, there's little outcry. If you listen to our politicians, there's little outcry. It's few and far between those who are standing up and saying, enough is enough. And Scripture states very plainly in the last days about lawlessness prevailing and what would happen because of those things. And I truly believe we are seeing those things played out before us today in this country. So again, I would encourage you, as we have been for this entire year and most of last, be prepared for the days ahead. We've been looking in Exodus at the furnishing of the temple. We continue there today in Exodus 37. We talked last week about how there are some things in Scripture that he is very specific about. There's other things in Scripture that he's not quite as specific about. So that sometimes, as we spoke last week, if we say chair, we may all have a different picture come to mind. Some may think of a leather chair, some may think of a recliner, some may think of a wooden chair around the table, some may think of a padded chair, some may think of a plastic chair. We may not all have the same concept of chair, but if we were told to sit in a chair, it would not change the action of obedience, even if we had a different concept of chair, even if we had different kinds of chairs. But if we were told specifically to sit in a plastic folding chair, that would limit our options of obeying. It would begin to get more specific. And there are things in Scripture that are less specific and more specific, but it still behooves us to obey. Part of what he says when he says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. I need to begin to understand those things that he says specifically, and to the best of my ability to find out those things, research those things, study out those things, excuse me, pray out those things, ask the Spirit to lead me, guide me, so that I can walk in his perfect ways. Then there's other things in Scriptures that aren't completely identified. And on those things, I think we can agree to disagree. We may have an opinion or we may have a preference. But on some of those things, Paul said, let no man judge you concerning. With the furnishing of the temple, it was something that was rather specific. He told them precise measurements, precise materials to use, precise ways to make it. They asked for a freewill offering, but they asked for only certain things to be given, even though it was a freewill offering. And then he put it in the artisan's hearts what to do, how to do. But as we've been going over the list, we see that even in their expression of worship, of making. They used the exact materials he commanded and the exact measurements he had commanded. So that in our worship, it's not always what moves me, what makes me feel, what gets me closer, in my opinion. When the scripture speaks specifically, then I need to obey specifically. So we'll pick it up in Exodus 37 today. And Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide, 1.5 cubits high, and he overlaid it with clean gold inside and outside. Made a molding of gold all around it. He cast 4 rings of gold for it, for its 4 feet, 2 rings on its one side and 2 rings on its other side. He made poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. He put the poles into the rings at the side of the ark to lift the ark. He made a lid of atonement of clean gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. He made 2 cherubim of beaten gold. He made them from the 2 ends of the lid of atonement, 1 cherub at 1 end of this side, and the other cherub at the other end of that side. He made the cherub from the lid of atonement and from the 2 ends, and the cherub spread out their wings above and covered the lid of atonement with their wings, with their faces toward each other. The faces of the cherubim were turned toward the lid of atonement. It spoke of the rings and the poles. We know that those were for bearing about the Ark of the Covenant. We see further on what happens when they did not carry the Ark correctly. You recall the story as David was trying to bring the Ark back. They had it on wagons instead, and it got jostled. They reached out to stop it from falling. And even in that act of wanting to do what, wanting to protect, they still suffer the consequence of not obeying. There are laws that the Father has put in place that just can't be disregarded, even if we don't know. The scripture says to the servant who doesn't know, he'll still receive stripes. To the one who does know, he'll receive more because he should know better. And the design of the very ark was already purposed and designed so that it could be obeyed when it was time to move it. It didn't have to be moved on a cart. It could be protected with the priest carrying it. And so if we will take the time to learn and to look and to listen, in all of his commands, he's already made a way. Made it to be able to be obeyed. Many of those things we've lost. Many of those things have been stolen. Many of those things we have forgotten. And so sometimes in our haste, we think, oh, well, I know they used to walk and carry, but it's a lot faster. We just strap it down to the wagon. After all, we're bringing it back to worship. We're bringing it back to make Yah a place. We're bringing it back so that forgetting the most important thing is obeying. Trusting in what he said and leaning not into our own understanding. So that we can go through this life, through this world, where the enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy, and stay on that straight and narrow path that leads to life. That we won't end up in the ditch or lead others that way. So we always need to be looking, be searching, be seeking. Because at the end of Deuteronomy, Yah said, it's not too difficult, it's not far away from you, it's even in your mouth. When Messiah came, he said, take my yoke. It's easy, it's light. Learn of me. Verse 10, he made the table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long and 1 cubit wide and 1.5 cubits high. He overlaid it with clean gold and made a molding of gold all around it. He made a rim of a hand breadth all around it. He made a molding of gold for the rim all around it. He cast 4 rings of gold for it and put the rings on the 4 corners that were at its 4 legs. The rings were next to the rim as holders for the poles to lift the table. He made the poles of acacia wood to lift the table and overlaid them with gold. He made the utensils which were on the table, its dishes and its cups and its bowls and its jars for pouring, of clean gold. He made the lampstand of clean gold. He made the lampstand of beaten work, its base and its shape, its cups, its ornamental knobs and its blossoms were from it. And 6 branches came out of its sides, 3 branches of the lampstand out of one side, 3 branches of the lampstand out of the other side. There were 3 cups like almond flowers on 1 branch with ornamental knobs and blossoms. 3 cups like almond flowers on the other branch, a knob and a blossom. So for the 6 branches coming out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand were 4 cups like almond flowers, its knobs and blossoms, and the knobs under the first 2 branches of the same, and a knob under the second 2 branches of the same, and a knob under the third 2 branches of the same, for the 6 branches coming out of it. Their knobs and their branches were of it. All of it was 1 beaten work of clean gold, and he made it 7 lamps, and its snuffers, and its trays of clean gold. He made it of a talent of clean gold and all its utensils. Again, we just have the description to show that he again was obeying, that he was following specifically. He made the incense slaughter place of acacia wood, 1 cubit long and 1 cubit wide, square and 2 cubits high. Its horns were of it. He overlaid it with clean gold. Its top and its sides all around and its horns. He made a molding for it of gold all around it. He made 2 rings of gold for it under its molding. At its 2 corners on both sides as holders for the poles with which to lift it. He made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold. And he made the set apart anointing oil and the clean incense of sweet spices according to the work of the perfumer. He made the slaughter place of a sin offering of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide, square and 3 cubits high. He made its horns on its 4 corners, and the horns were of it. And he overlaid it with bronze. He made all the utensils for the slaughter place, the pots, the shovels, the basins, and the forks, and the fire holders. He made all the utensils of bronze. He made a grating for the slaughter place, a bronze network under its rim, midway from the bottom. And he cast 4 rings for the 4 corners of the bronze grating as holders for the poles. He made the poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with bronze. And he put the poles into the rings on the side of the slaughter place with which to lift it. He made the slaughter place hollow with boards. And he made the basins of bronze and the stands of bronze for the bronze mirrors of the serving women who did service at the door of the tent of appointment. He made the courtyard for the south side. The screen of the courtyard were of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long. There are 20 columns and there are 20 sockets of bronze. The hooks of the column and the bands were of silver. So again, we began to see the tent of appointment or the entrance outside between the gate and the holy place, we see that even back here, there were women who served at the door of the tent of appointment. Just as, again, even Messiah's time, as he went to the temple, Anna was still there serving, who prophesied and blessed over him. And that while, yes, the priests were all men, and there is an order under Yah, women were never second class. Women were included. Women were valued, respected, and part of temple life from the very beginning. For the north side of the screens were 100 cubits long, verse 11. There are 20 columns and there are 20 sockets of bronze, the hooks of the columns, their bands were of silver. And for the west side, there were screens of 50 cubits. There are 10 columns and there are 10 sockets, the hooks of the columns and their bands were of silver. And for the east side, eastward 50 cubits, 15 cubits of screens on the one side with their three columns and their three sockets and 15 cubits of screens. The other side of the courtyard gate on this side and on that side with their three columns and their three sockets. All the screens of the courtyard all around were a fine woven linen. And the sockets for the columns were of bronze. The hooks of the column and the bands were of silver, and the overlay of their tops was of silver, and all the columns of the courtyard had bands of silver. And the covering for the gate of the courtyard was the work of an embroiderer of blue and purple and scarlet material, and the five of fine woven linen, and 20 cubits long, and the height along its width was 5 cubits, corresponding to the screen of the courtyard. Excuse me. And the columns were 4, and their sockets of bronze 4, their hooks were of silver, and the overlay of their tops and the bands were of silver. And all the pegs with the dwelling place and the courtyards all around were of bronze. These were the appointments of the dwelling place, the dwelling place of the witness, which was appointed by the mouth of Moshe for the service of the Levites, by the hand of Ithamar, son of Aaron the priest. So again, as we saw, the utensils, all of the elements of the holy place, of the Holy of Holies, of the courtyard, all of those had meaning. As the priest came in, and before he even began, he was cleansed with water. Went to the sacrifice, the brazen altar that was outside. Before he ever went into the holy place that had the showbread, the bread of life, that had the menorah, the light, that had the altar of incense. And then once a year, as the Holy of Holies was entered with that altar of incense, and of course with the blood from the brazen altar taken into the Holy of Holies and put on the mercy seat. All of it spoke of Messiah in the future, of his sacrifice. It speaks of how we are to approach him. And it spoke of the consequences of not doing it properly. The priests who served him and worshiped him, if they did not do it properly, they died. He made a way. Messiah came and declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he also promised us no one comes to the Father but through me. We all can choose to obey, choose to bring every thought captive to the obedience to Christ, or we can choose. We don't have to do it that way. But I believe we see the consequences in our society, the consequences in our families, the consequences in our educational system of years of choice of not doing it His way. And we see the destruction that has taken place. Perhaps we should try it His way. First Kings 8. They said 8, but let's start in 6. 1 Kings 8. But instead of starting in verse 8, we're going to back up 2 and start in verse 6. And the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of Yah to its place and to the speaking place of the house, to the most set apart place under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim covered over the ark and its poles, and the poles extended, so that the ends of the poles were seen from the set-apart place in front of the speaking place, but they were not seen from outside. And they are there to this day. There was not in the ark only the two tablets of stone, which Moshe put there at Horeb, where Yah made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Mitzrayim. And it came to be when the priest came out of the set-apart place that the cloud filled the house of Yah, so that the priests were unable to stand and perform the service because of the cloud, for the steam of Yah filled the house of Yah. And Shlomo, or Solomon, said, Yah has said he would dwell in the dark cloud. I have indeed built you an exalted house and established place for you to dwell in forever. And the sovereign turned around and blessed all the assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, Blessed be Yah Elohim of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David, and with his hands has filled it, saying, Since the day I brought my people Israel out of Mitzrayim, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house for my name to be there. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of Yah Elohim of Israel. But Yah said to my father David, Because it has been in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Only you do not build the house, but your son who is coming from your loins. He does build the house for my name. Now Yah has established his word, which he spoke, and I have been raised up and said to my father David, and sit on the throne of Israel, as Yah promised, and built a house for the name of Yah Elohim of Israel, and have appointed there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of Yah, which he made with our fathers, when he brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim. Solomon stood before the slaughter place of Yah in front of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward the heavens and said, Yah, Elohim of Israel, there is no Elohim in the heavens above or the earth below like you, guarding your covenant and loving commitment with your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who has guarded that which you did promise your servant David, my father. Indeed, you have spoken with your mouth and have filled it with your hands as it is this day. And now, Yah Elohim of Israel, guard what you have promised your servant David, my father, saying, There is not to cease a man of yours before me, sitting on the throne of Israel only if your sons guard their way to walk before me as you have walked before me. And now, Elohim of Israel, please let your word come true, which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. For it is true, Elohim dwells on the earth. See, the heavens and the heavens of the heavens are unable to contain you. How much less this house which I have built? Yet shall you turn to the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Yama Elohim, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today. For your eyes to be open toward this house night and day, toward the place which you said, my name is there, to listen to the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. Then shall you hear the supplication of your servant and of your people, Israel, when they pray toward this place, when you hear in your dwelling place in the heavens, and shall you hear and forgive. If anyone sins against his neighbor and he has lifted up an oath on him, to cause him to swear and comes and swears before your slaughter place in this house, then hear in the heavens and act and rightly rule your servants, declaring the wrongdoer wrong, bringing his way on his head, and declaring the righteous right by giving him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel are smitten before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and they shall turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this house, then hear in the heavens and forgive the sins of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they sin against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in the heavens and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. For you teach them the good way in which they should walk, and shall give rain in your land, which you have given to the people as inheritance. When there is scarcity of food in the land, when there is pestilence, blight, mildew, locust, grasshopper, when their enemies distress them in the land of their cities, any plague, any sickness, whatever prayer, whatever application made by someone to all your people, Israel, each knowing the plague of his own heart, and shall spread out his hands toward this house, then hear in the heavens your dwelling place and forgive, and act and render unto everyone according to all his ways whose heart you know, because you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men, so that they fear you all the days which they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. Even here, as we see Yah come down and fill the temple, Solomon asked for his mercy when they would go astray. Even here, we have a hint that if his people, who are called by his name, would humble themselves and pray and repent from their wicked ways, he would hear from heaven and heal our lands. Do we wonder why we have blight, mold, plagues, pestilence, storms, troubles? Have we walked in his ways? Have we guarded his Torah? Have we watched over his covenant? Or have we largely abandoned it? Some of our coins, of which there's a shortage right now, say in God we trust. But to me, that's the main shortage. God, for years it seems it's not in God we trust. In years it seems to be. been our finances, our leaders, our own endeavors, our American spirit, our can-do attitude, our pull yourself up by your bootstraps, the American dream. Which all are fine as long as they coincide with his covenant. But when any of those things err from his covenant, veer from his ways, then we need to repent. When any of those things become more important to me then I've made an idol of those things. When I listen to those things more than I listen to his word, when I trust in those things more than I trust in his ability and in his ways, when I look at the wisdom of the world and do not realize that it's foolishness to him, but the temple wasn't just for Israel. Verse 41, also concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, but has come from a far land for your name's sake. Even back in the original temple itself, Yah had made a way. Even then there was a way to be grafted in. Even then it was to be a light to draw all men unto them. Even then his covenant and his way stood from those who were from afar off. Since they heard of your great name and your strong hand and your outraged arm, and he shall come and pray toward this house here in the heavens, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, so that all peoples of the earth know your name and fear you. As do your people Israel, and know that this house which I have built is called by your name. When your people go out to battle against the enemy in the way that you send them, and they shall pray to Yah toward the city which you have chosen and toward the house which I have built for your name, then you shall hear in the heavens their manner, their prayer, and their supplication, and maintain their cause. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become enraged with them and give them to the enemy, and they take them for captive to the land of the enemy far or near, and they shall turn back unto their heart in the land where they have been taken captive, and shall turn and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned and acted crookedly. We have committed wrong. And they shall turn back to you with all of their heart and with all their being in the land of their enemies who led them away captive, and shall pray to you toward their land which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name. Then shall you hear in the heavens your dwelling place, their prayers, and their supplication to maintain their cause. And forgive your people who have sinned against you, and all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you, and give them compassion before those who took them captive, and they shall have compassion on them, for they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out of Mitzrayim, out of the iron furnace. Let your eyes be open to the supplication of your servant and the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call on you. For you have separated them unto yourself for an inheritance out of all the peoples of the earth, as you spoke by the hand of your servant Moshe, when you brought our fathers out of Mitzrayim, O Master Yah. And it came to be when Solomon had ended praying all this prayer and supplication to Yah that he rose up from before the slaughter place of Yah, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to the heavens. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be Yah, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good word, which he has promised from his servant Moshe. Yah Elohim is with us as he was with our fathers. He does not leave us nor forsake us to incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to guard his commands and his laws and his right rulings, which he commanded our fathers. Let these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before Yah, be near Yah our Elohim day and night, to maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, the matter of each day in his day, so that all the people of the earth might know that Yah is Elohim, there is no one else. Let your heart therefore be perfect to Yah our Elohim, to walk in his laws and to guard his commands as at this day. You know, that is still, should be our prayer today and our plea today. For Yah to incline him to us. That he has done according to all of his promises. There has not failed one word of all his good word. And we can be unafraid, knowing whence our help comes. We can lift up our eyes and know our redemption draws near. And we can pray that our hearts would incline to him, that we would walk in all his ways, that we would guard his commands and his laws and his right rulings. And that as we did that, and as our supplication came before him, he would maintain the cause of his people, not just for us, but so that all the people of the earth might know that Yah is Elohim, that there is no one else. Not just for ourselves, not just for our families, but to truly lift him up that he might draw all people unto himself. We are to be perfect to Yah Elohim, to walk in his laws, guard his commands, keep his Torah. Now, many will say, well, that's fine, but that was Old Testament. I would say he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that he changes not. Say he says that though heaven and earth would pass away, his word would remain. That his word would not return void, but it would accomplish all that he intended. He's not a man that he should lie. That he has known the end from the beginning. That Yeshua was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That it's always been one plan, one way, and that it has not changed. But let's look at the New Testament and see if it says the same. Let's look at 1 John. John, the beloved. John, who laid his head on the chest of Messiah at the Last Supper. John, who stood at the cross. Whom Messiah looked down and said to his mother, Mother, behold your son, son, behold your mother. John, who ran ahead to the tomb. This is that John. 1 John 1 through 2:6. What was heard from the beginning? What did the Jewish child hear from the beginning? Torah. More specifically, Psalms 119. And what is Psalms 119 all about? Thy law I have hid in my heart that I might not sin or transgress against you. What was the next thing they heard? Leviticus, which is all of the laws, right rulings, mitzvahs, commands. What was from the beginning, what you have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes. What had he seen with his own eyes? Messiah. The life of Messiah. How Messiah walked. What Messiah did. What we have looked upon and our hands have handled. Concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and hear and bear witness and announce to you the everlasting life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Again, it's a reiteration of the gospel. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God, the word came down and dwelt among us. Came flesh. John is here showing there's no difference. What was from the beginning? The Word, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. What we've heard, the Torah. What we've seen, Messiah. What we've handled. What we've looked upon. As Pentecost, Shavuot came fully and the Ruach HaKodesh came and dwelt on men. John is saying it's been manifested, it's been shown, it's been revealed. It's no longer a secret, it's no longer a wondering, it's no longer a looking toward. It's here, it's now. Verse 3, we announce to you that we have seen and heard so that you too may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Yeshua Messiah. Now, when you tell a Jew back in that day, the fellowship was with the Father, what are they instantly going to think of? The covenant. Wasn't that the whole basis of the Father's dealings with Israel? The covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and even further, the covenant with Moshe, the covenant with Israel as he brought them out. But not just the covenant with the Father, with his Son, Yeshua, HaMashiach. And we write this to you in order that your joy might be complete. Why would our joy need to be complete? It wasn't completed yet, remember? Paul's talking about the Torah, said, oh, it wasn't strong enough in itself. The things I didn't want to do, I ended up doing those things. The thing I wanted to do, I didn't seem to have the strength to do those things. Woe is me, I'm undone. I see laws warring inside of me. The law of death, the law of life. But now our joy has been made complete because Messiah came and he lived, he died. That I could be born again, that I could be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That he took care of my sin nature. That if I would choose to take up my cross daily, if I would trust in what he's done for me, then behold, the old man could be done away with. All things could become new. I could be a new creation. That then I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What all things could I do? Maybe they're all things that I couldn't do before, but wished I could. Maybe the all things that Messiah did. What were the all things he did? The will of the Father, the will of the one who sent him. This is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that Elohim is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, why does the scripture say men love darkness? Their deeds are evil, shameful, wicked, sinful. How much of that is in Elohim? None. If Elohim is light and there is no darkness, then how much sin is there? None. We know that. There's no sin there. Sin can't exist in his presence. But if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, how would we walk in darkness? Walking in sin, walking in evil, walking in that which is a shame. We are under grace. We are forgiven. We lie and are not doing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Yeshua, Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we do what? Walk in the light. It's almost as on the mountain in Deuteronomy. Choose life, not death. Choose blessings, not cursing. Choose obedience, not disobedience. What did Jesus say to do if you loved him? Keep my commandments. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Yeshua, Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are misleading ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is trustworthy and righteous to forgive us of the sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not with us. My little children, I write this to you so that you do not sin. Why did he write this to us? So that you do not sin. What is sin? Transgression of the law. Little children, I write this to you so that you would not transgress the law. If you don't transgress the law, then what do? You uphold the law, you keep the law, you obey the law. Little children, I write this to you so that you would uphold, keep, obey the law. And if anyone sins, we have an intercession with the Father, Yeshua Messiah, a righteous one. And he himself is an atoning offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for all the world. Hallelujah! Because I sure need that. But is that the end of it? No. And by this, we know that we know him. So here's what John said. Here is how you know if you know Messiah. If we guard his commands. The one who says, I know him, and does not guard his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, is guarding his commands my salvation? No, John very specifically just got through saying he himself, Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, is an atoning offering for our sins, and not only for our sins, for all the world. That if we sin, we have an intercessor. Not just one who can pray, but one who can atone. But he also says, here's how you know if you know him. If we guard his commands. The one who says, I know him, and does not guard his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever guards his word, truly the love of Elohim has been perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he stays in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now argue with John. But he says, here's how you know if you know him. Guard his commands. If he's changed you, if he lives in you, if you have fellowship with him, you ought to walk like he walked. How did Messiah walk? Walked according to Torah. Walked according to the law. Walked according to what he saw, heard from his father. Walked a sinless life. And why did John write these things to us? So that you would not sin. Sounds a lot like what Solomon was saying. Almost like this is all his word. That all is given by inspiration. It is good for doctrine and correction, for instruction in righteousness. Almost like it's one God. The creator of all, our Father who art in heaven. Almost like we should pray for his kingdom to come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Almost as in history is his story. That from the very beginning, when the Spirit hovered over the deep, until the very end when we see the new Jerusalem and the new heaven and the new earth, it is all the story of Yah, how he chose his people, how he made a way where there seemed to be no way, and how I could choose for him to be my Elohim and for us to be his people. In closing, let's look at Psalm 66. Shout with joy to Elohim, all the earth. Sing out the splendor of his name. Make his praise esteem. Say to Elohim, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies pretend obedience to you. All the earth bows to you. They sing praise to you. They praise your name, Selah. Do we see a lot of Yah's enemies pretending obedience to him? Or another way, what are those who are pretending obedience to him today? It says they're his enemies. Come and see the works of Elohim. Awesome acts toward the sons of men. He has turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him who rules by his power forever. His eyes keeping watch on the nations, let the rebellious not exalt themselves. Selah. We sure seem to have missed that one as a country. Bless our Elohim, you peoples, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O Elohim, have proved us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our loins. You have let men ride at our head. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to plenty. There's the answer for our country. Not to rise in rebellion. Not to feign obedience. But if we would bless our Elohim. How do you bless our Elohim? Obey. Trust. Believe that he knows best and has the best for me. Bless our Elohim, you people, and sound his praise abroad. He's the one that gives us life. He does not allow our feet to be moved. He has proved us. He has refined us. Oh, he may have brought us into the net. He may have laid affliction on our loins. He may have let men ride at our heads. He may have brought us through the fire and the water. But it was all to bring us out to plenty. He can do that again, even for America, if we would repent, if we'll return, if we will reject the ways of destruction, and again, obey the ways of life. I enter your house with ascending offerings. I complete my vows to you. That which my lips have uttered and my mouth spoke in my distress. Ascending offerings of fatlings I offer to you with the incense of rams. I offer bulls with goats. Selah. If we would complete our vows, if we would turn to him with all of our hearts. As our lips have prayed, be my Savior and be my Lord. If we would let him do that, not just be my Savior, but truly be my Lord, my master, my God, if I would not follow my ways, but realize his ways are higher than my ways. As high as above the heavens is above the earth. And I would trust, I would obey, I would bless his name. He could turn again, even our times of trouble. Come here, all you who fear Elohim. And I relate what he has done for my being. I called to him with my mouth and praise was in my tongue. If I had seen wickedness in my heart, Yah would not hear. Truly Elohim has heard me. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be Elohim, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving commitment from me. How much more is that not real to me today? Today we've been, Stacy and I have been married for 28 years. So I look around this room, I see a bunch of our blessings. Blessed beyond measure, because though I have not walked perfectly in those 28 years, hopefully I've walked repentant. I've walked with a heart open to what he is doing. I have let him move us, chastise us, lead us, guide us, teach us. Where we have arrived, where we are today. Though I have hope for America, my expectation is not very high. But my expectation is for those who will call upon his name, that he will bring that remnant through, that one could set 1,000 to flight and two could set 10,000 to flight, and that he will never let his people be utterly destroyed. I urge those who are listening today, whether you're tuned in, whether you're called in, whether you're hearing it on podcast, for those who are in this room, turn to him with all of your heart. Repent. Begin to learn his ways and walk in them. Knowing the days ahead, we're going to need him and we're going to need each other. If you're not in a place where you're near others, I urge you, as Revelation says, come out of her, my people. Begin to pray, begin to ask to be delivered. Make a decision of what's important to you now and act. Be prepared. Don't be as the foolish virgins who were virgins. But when the bridegroom call came out, they are not prepared and not have oil enough, and they missed the day of their visitation. Don't miss the visitation that's coming. Shema Israel. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Leolam Vayeh. Shabbat Shalom.